Second hour here on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Adam Vinken from The Athletic with us. He now joins us. Yesterday on the show, Adam, D-Mace put it at 4% return. I put it at 60% return. Villy put it at a 66% return.
66.666.
Well, that's a kind which of a is really weird number.
Right? Yeah, that's a weird number.
Weird number. Yeah, two-thirds. Yeah. Two-thirds is the percent. Yeah. That's
what it
was. Two-thirds. Two-thirds.
Yeah. Why can't they say 66.7?
Somebody bless.
7.
Somebody bless Willie. Too many
Let me
sixes
throw some water there on you, Willie.
Somebody, yeah, somebody bless him. So let's just go with 66. Like, it's getting a little weird with all these extra sixes. Billy, I don't
throw
know what's
going on.
Throw
a 7 in there, Billy.
You're 66. Watching
a 66.6667.
Yeah, okay. Let's again.
Still too many sixes.
Bless him, bless him, bless him. And Greg Wyshynski put it at 70% return, Philip Forsberg. Adam, what's your percentage?
Willie seems like one of those guys that knows, like, pi out to, like, the 50th digit.
I know pi, too. It's just a different
Okay, how
pi.
Many do you know?
Yeah. 3. I know chocolate 14.
Pi. 3.14.
159, I think, are the next three. The other, the, after that, I don't know. So I know it out
That's
to six.
That's, like, three more than I know. So. But you see, like, one of those guys that would, as a party trick, it's like, I know pi out to 20 places. okay, so let's recap. So I didn't hear what Derek's percentage was. What was Derek?
40.
Mine 40. Was 40.
Derek said 40. Darren said 60.
Yep.
Willie said two-thirds.
Two-thirds.
And Wyshynski said 70.
Said, yep. And Greg said 70. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that I'd probably lean towards somewhere in between Darren and Willie.
Oh,
so
in between.
I'll say like 65%.
65. Ooh. How did you arrive at 65%?
He's playing the Price is Right game.
Yeah.
He's trying to get to the Showcase Showdown.
He is, but he's got you bidding just one higher.
Exactly.
With some sixes.
$1.
That's what you should have bet. That's the percentage play.
Yeah, you should have done 1%.
Yeah.
Or 41%. That would give you a good window there.
Yeah.
So I'll say 65%.
Has that gone up or down since the season ended?
I think it's stayed neutral.
Okay.
I don't think it's gone one way or another. I just listened to David Poyle talk about the negotiations, and, you know, he seems confident that it's going to get done. Now, I know that just because he says that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Now, I know that a lot of people will draw the conclusion, or excuse me, draw a line between Philip Forsberg and the Ryan Suter saga. Now, I was not here for that, so Willie and Darren will have to help me out here. I don't remember David Poyle being as openly confident about re-signing Ryan Suter as he was with Philip Forsberg. Is that accurate?
I think that's accurate.
It's
fairly accurate. He was a little more cautious, but the biggest difference was that there was no limit on what you could offer a person under the cap. And that's when the wacky 13 to 15 year deals were sort of the in thing.
Right.
And that was the wild card. Now it's much more strict on what you can offer. So
I
think
will say this,
that
though,
works in the Predators' favor.
I'm going to differ with Willie a little bit, because he knows we talked about this a ton back then. I think David was bought in just as much, if not more, than Philip Forsberg. And I think he got duped a little. Mm. I do. Because we were saying, I know, I mean, go back and I don't know if we have the audio anymore. It's probably a lightning strike or something. It's not around anymore. But we were like, the vibe I get being around Ryan is he's gone. That's the vibe. I know I said that.
He was more confident than us. And so he probably, the word that was used a lot, he was not. He didn't read the tea leaves as he probably should have. back then.
Now, do you get the vibe, based on what we've heard from Phillip, that it's a similar situation? Or well, do you feel more confident in hearing what Phillip has had to say than what Ryan had to say 10 years ago?
It's a great question because, you know, back then the vibe was just literally being around him, like watching him. Just me was right. like yeah. my observations. And as you know, Adam, the you know last couple of years we haven't been really been able to yeah. be around players. So, you know, it's hard yeah. for me to answer that because I was truly going off the vibe of talking to people and literally watching him and having conversations. Like, I wouldn't go down that road, but I would watch that conversation come up and I would watch his body language, and it was never a good feeling for me. But I can't say that for Forsberg because I haven't been around him or in the same situations as the Ryan Suter stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that ultimately it will get done. Now, will it be at a price that David Poile likes? Probably not. You know, the Evolving Hockey website has a great contract projection tool. Now, I wish I could explain exactly how it works. I believe it mines data from Cap Friendly and uses comparable players and all of that. So it's hard. I need to go back and look at exactly how they compute these projections, but they are fairly accurate. And according to Evolving Hockey, if Philip Forsberg stays with the Predators, it projects that he will receive an 8-year contract with an annual cap hit of around 8.5. Now, to me, you know, that sounds fairly reasonable, but I'm skeptical that it will come in at under $9 million. And that also, by the way, those contract projections do not take into account, you know, trade protection clauses and the like. So, you know, that would be something else that would come up over the course of these conversations. So, go ahead, Darren.
I was going to say, well, that's so interesting, Adam, because you know this. I mean, I feel like I don't want to say all because that's suggesting that everybody feels that way, but we've talked about this so much. Even Greg Wyshynski yesterday said 8.5. I feel like we all, even though I know it's not everyone, we keep coming to that number. And what I don't understand is if everybody feels like that is the comfortable number, that's the right number for both sides, then why are we still talking about this? And what truly is the hang-up? Which side is it that doesn't feel comfortable with that number? Well, you know, which side behind the scenes doesn't feel comfortable with that number? Because I feel like all of us feel like that is the number. Well, clearly behind the scenes, somebody doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah, it's a good question. And you know, as much as we've talked about it, like you said, you know, I think we all assumed maybe that, you know, it would have been done by now. Like, if you would have asked me on October 1st if this contract would still not be done closing in on Memorial Day, I probably would have said probably by then it will be done. But the fact that it's not, clearly some, you know, what the hang up is, I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, to me, you know, I think one way or another, Philip Forsberg, and I think we can all agree on this, that he is going to be if he resigns, he's going to be the highest paid forward on the team. He's going to make more than Matt Duchene. He's going to make more than Ryan Johansson. I think Elliot Freeman and Jeff Marek have talked about this on their 32 Thoughts podcast, and I know it's sort of bled into conversations that we've had on this show and others about whether or not there is a ceiling, so to speak, in terms of how much money the Predators are willing to give Philip Forsberg, in the sense that they are not going to pay him more than Roman Josi. I mean, there are certain players on certain teams that they are the ceiling, that you can make as much as this, but you're not making more than that guy. I wonder if maybe that's a hang up, that maybe the Forsberg camp wants more than what Roman Josi is getting paid. And the Predators are like, no, he's our captain. He's our Norris Trophy winner. He's our Ted Lindsay finalist. You're not making as much as Roman Josi. I mean, this is completely hypothetical, but I wonder if that might have something to do with it.
Now, Adam, if that does have a bit to do with it, and say if you know, the Predators choose to pay him, you know, what is he making?
Yossi is 9.059.
Yeah. So what if they say, well, we're going to pay you 9 million, not 9.025 or whatever. We're just going to pay you 9 million. You're the highest paid forward. Do you think that's a good contract based upon his projected numbers? Because he's not getting younger. He's getting older. And you still have this looming, is he going to be healthy? You know, on average, the last 10 years, this is a 22, 24, and 46 guy. That doesn't warrant $9 million moving down, moving forward, because he's only getting older. So if you do give him the 9 or the 8.5, is that a good deal for the Predators?
By the way, 8.5 still makes him the highest paid forward.
Exactly. And is that a good deal for the Predators?
Yeah, it's a good question, because oftentimes what happens in these contract negotiations is that teams tend to pay players for things they have done versus what they might do. And Philip had a fantastic season. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, are you confident that he will be able to replicate this? You know, I think it would be unfair to say he's got to replicate it for the entire contract, because by the time it would be over, if it's 8 years, he'd be in his late 30s. I feel like if you can get, you know, a similar production from Philip that you did this season for the first half of the deal, 4 out of the 8 years, I think you could live with that. You know, it's pretty amazing to look at the players in the league, the forwards in the league that make at least $9 million. There were 19 forwards. I'm just looking at this now. 19 forwards in the NHL who have a cap hit of at least $9 million this season. And when you look at those players versus Philip Forsberg, a lot of the players that are on this list you would probably say are better than Philip Forsberg. I mean, the list is topped by Connor McDavid, Artemi Panarin, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner. You've got Taves and Kane in there who are older, Mark Stone, Alex Ovechkin. You know, I think, you know, is Forsberg in that class? Probably not. But again, some of those forwards have had these contracts for a long time, so they've gotten older. But even then, you know, would I consider Philip Forsberg one of the top 20 forwards in the NHL? No. But, you know, look, I give Philip full marks for the way he handled this, because he played it perfectly. He came into camp. He said he was going to play out his contract. He bet on himself. He had a fantastic season, and he has set himself up for a big payday. You know, he could have gone the Matthias Ekholm route. Now, Ekholm is in a different stage of his career, you know, but Ekholm, as you recall, you know, Ekholm and his agent basically set a deadline and said that if this contract is not done by the first day of the season, we're not negotiating during the season. And they got it done like the day before the season started. You know, Philip could have done that. And, you know, he's probably would be kicking himself right now, because if he had the same season he had now. So he's played this perfectly. I give Philip full marks for that. But I do think that if they re-sign him, this contract's going to hurt. And you can argue does it run counter to what they want to do in terms of getting younger and staying competitive? You know, I certainly have my issues with that approach, but I honestly think that we are all going to look at this contract if and when it gets done, and I think we're all going to look at it and go, ugh, like, that's not going to age well. I mean, that's kind of how I feel this thing is going.
I'll just remind everybody the math without going to decimal places. 8 times 8 is $64 million. 7 times 9 is $63 million. So, again, I think that's where the rub is. Is somebody going to offer him $9 or $9.5 million on the open market for 7 years?
Because to your point, Willie, the evolving hockey projection, if he leaves Nashville and signs with another team, is a 7-year deal with a cap hit of around 9.5.
Okay, so to beat 9.5, the Predators have to go to somewhere between 8 and 8.5. They don't even have to get to 8.5 to beat 9.5. And to me, if you're going 9.5, that's an extreme offer, as you mentioned, compared to Braden Point and Austin Matthews and the players that make that kind of money. So Let's leave that aside for now. One more thing for you, Adam. On there's a number of restricted free agents on teams that are going to have some cap issues. Do you think we're going to see some offer sheets this summer, even though it has not been in vogue, it has not been effective for teams trying to sign players to offer sheets? I'm wondering if this year might be different.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. So far, the only teams that have gotten in on the fun in recent years are Carolina and Montreal. And I would like to see more of that. You know, I think the Predators should really think about it. I was actually looking back at the history of David Poile as Pretzel wants to get involved in the conversation.
He wants to tell you how many decibel places he knows of pi.
Yeah, probably more than me. And I was looking at David Poile's history of offer sheets. Now, we know he's been on the receiving end of the Shea Weber offer sheet, and he was on the receiving end of the Scott Stevens offer sheet in Washington. The only time I can recall that I could find of David Poile actually tendering an offer sheet was back in 1992 when he tendered an offer sheet to Dave Manson, who I believe was playing for the Edmonton Oilers at the time, and I believe the Oilers matched that offer sheet. So it's not something that David Poile has been known to do. But when you look at the class of restricted free agents this year, it's pretty incredible. You know, Patrick Laine, I'm just listing players. I know that it's unlikely that some of these players end up reaching the open market. Actually, I'm looking at last year's list because there were some players on there that have been signed. So let me update it to this year's list. Patrick Laine, Matthew Tkachuk, Kevin Fiala is a really interesting one. It would be all sorts of hilarious if the Predators tendered an offer sheet to Kevin Fiala. I can't imagine that happening. But, you know, look at Minnesota. Like, I don't know who their other restricted free agents are, if they have any other notable ones. But, you know, that is a team that is ripe for an offer sheet, you know, because of the buyouts for Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. They have very limited cap space next season, and Kevin Fiala, as we all know, had a fabulous season. The Wild took the very rare step of taking him to arbitration last summer. You know, most of the time players take teams to arbitration. This time the Wild took him to arbitration. They got a one-year deal. Kevin played really well, but he's probably not going to be back next year. You know, all signs point to that, according to my colleague Michael Russo in Minnesota. So do the Wild try to trade him? Does the team try to swoop in with an offer sheet? You know, I think the Predators should consider it. Like, for example, the Predators, we know they're trying to get younger and they want to stay competitive. So I understand that offer sheets, require draft capital. So you're going to have, if you give an offer sheet and it's not matched, then you have to give up, draft picks in order to get that player, you know. Wouldn't it be more along the Predators' goals to sign Patrick Laine, who's 24, than Claude Giroux, who's 34? I mean, it makes a lot more sense on paper. Now, it's a lot more complicated than that. But to me, I think the Predators should consider it. There are some really interesting names out there. Will they do it? I don't know. But I think they strongly should consider it if they are trying to remain competitive and get younger. Restricted free agents, by definition, are younger. So I do think it's something that they should look into.
Adam, good stuff. As always, we'll let you get back to Pretzel and the baby. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk down the road.
All right. I'll let you know when Arlo can say 5 to 10 decimal places of pie.
Do you think that's soon, or do you think that's going to be a while?
The only pie he's going to know soon is pecan pie.
Pecan pie. And I feel like the abacus is going to come in there pretty soon.
Thank you, Adam. Adam Vidkin from The Athletic. We'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.